Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and praise the Lord. Glory be to God in the highest. What a blessing it is to be here with you on this Sunday exhortation here on Three Brides Supper and Brunch. And I certainly hope that your Sunday is going well and that the sun is shining brightly upon you. And I tell you what a blessing it is to be alive, to be saved today with everything that's going on in the world today, and I wanted to come to you today to share an encouraging word to calm your fears and really exhort you and encourage you to know that everything is going to be okay. It is, because God is in control, and it's really going to be okay if you are saved today, hallelujah, and you're covered by the blood of Jesus. And I tell you what a blessing it is to be with you here on Miss Marie's Bride Supper and Brunch. And I'm excited to share this week's exhortation with you as we enter into the official start of spring this week. And I certainly hope everything is blossoming and budding in your life because of what's being watered, what you're watering. Most important, what you're sowing. That's what you sow, you reap, right? Because we're on the agricultural calendar, and that's how it works in the kingdom of heaven. That's how it works in the God system, and that's how it works in the universe of Christ, according to the laws of reciprocity. So I'm really excited and honored to be here on this Reese Brown Supper and Brunch. And I want to thank all of you first-time comers who are new to the Stardust Heaven Network 9. And I'm excited to share with you this exhortation the Lord gave me entitled Finding the Pearl of Great Price. Finding the Pearl of Great Price. And I'm excited to share with you because I really want to, really before the Lord, ask the Lord to give me a word that will comfort. And he began to mention this to me, and it's an honor to share with you. It's a blessing to be here with you in studio here on Broad Suffering Brunch, a birth thing I created to celebrate Sundays, which is very special. Saturdays are very special because this is a Sabbath day, it's a day of rest. But Sunday is always special because it's like a freshness, a newness to our spirit, because it's usually a day of worship where all sons and daughters and those who come to seek God come to worship the Lord. So I entitled it All Sons and Daughters Day because it's the day where most believers come together to praise the Lord and to fellowship, which is why I'm here, which is to exhort you by way of the gospel, by way of the good news, and to declare that to you as an heir of salvation, the sheep of his pasture. And Bride Southern Brunch is a birthday that I birthed to celebrate the afternoon on Sundays, which is one of my favorite times of the day, which celebrates brunch and breakfast. That's why I entitled it Lisa Marie's Bride Supper and Brunch. And it celebrates the bridal shower that we are in and we have with our mystical marriage with Christ before we are called home. And I tell you, I'm always excited when I come to you for Lisa Marie's Bride Supper and Brunch because it really it prepares me and reminds me of what time it is. And I birthed Bride Supper and Brunch from the foundation of Scripture, speaking of the parable of the five wise and the five foolish, and being prepared. And I tell you, this time we're in with the coronavirus and everything, it's nothing but being echoed and shouted about prevention and preparation. And if nothing else we can take away from what's happening now is just that. And that's going to be by obedience and trusting that God knows what's going on. So without further delay, I'm going to share with you the inspiration that the Lord gave me for this message. And it was so divine and so befitting in coming to you from Bride's Love and Brunch because find the great pearl of great price. It is something that is symbolic of a bride. Pearls are given to brides on their wedding day. I put her here, should have been her, on her wedding day, as a sign, an impartation of blessing. On her wedding day, I put here, I was typing real fast, on her wedding day. And I thought that was so divine. I'm like, okay, wow, God, I didn't even think about that when he gave me this. So I was just thinking about the message he gave me. But as I began to seek his face, and he gave me more revelation and really, really could speak to me about the blessing of the pearl. It really is, again, symbolic of that which is not only priceless or of great price and of great price, how rare it is, how rare it is. And just looking and celebrating the pearl, which is one of the jewels that God's going to make up his crown with, because we are his crown jewels, which is also what is spoken of in Revelation, with the walls and the streets are paved with gold and jasper and pearls and all those wonderful things. The pearl is very significant in the kingdom of heaven. It was very significant in Jesus teaching the disciples and his followers. Now, the pearl symbolizes purity, generosity, integrity, and loyalty of its wearer, the person who wearer. Pearls promote promote marital harmony, love, success, happiness, modesty, chastity, and purity. Now, one of the interesting things that I really found about the pearl is that finding a pearl is rare in today's world. It says natural pearls are extremely rare. Only one in about 10,000 in wild oysters will yield a pearl. And of those, only a small percentage achieve the size, shape, and color desirable to the jewelry industry. Now, pearls are found in fresh water, which are called freshwater pearls, which are typically found in mussels, known as mussels, and can come from any freshwater source, like rivers, lakes, and ponds. And also from my research and studying, found in Russia and in other countries. So the pearls is a very rare find, and when you find a pearl, which most fishers do, who know how to locate them, they know they're very precious. And that's one of the things that he was emphasizing when he was mentioning this to me. Now, Jesus used the parable of the pearl of great price to teach his disciples and the believers of the value of the kingdom of heaven. And that's really important to note because our salvation was given to us, delivered to us by the saints. And that deliverance of our faith that we continue to learn of by way of the gospel, by way of the apostles and the saints, came at a great price, many being martyred for their faith. So Jesus himself being crucified for the gospel's sake and teaching the gospel message, as well as, dying on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Now, Matthew, the 13th chapter, 38 through the 48 verse is what he gave me for this. And it speaks of the parable in which he taught in saying that the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked, of the wicked one. He that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And this is so divine because if we simply read the gospel as dear little children, as being the good seed, which we are supposed to be, representing the kingdom of God, the children of God, children of the kingdom, this will show us and we will know what to expect and what to look out for and what to watch for, as Jesus said, as we live in this world. This world. Now he goes on to say, "If therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend." That's something I shared with you on the latest Facebook post I posted about a fruitful rain, how God is uprooting and getting rid of the schisms and those things that offend in his kingdom. And it would be important for you to note and for us to continue to note, and those who are so caught up in, quote-unquote, my ministry, that we are ministers of the gospel according to the kingdom of heaven, according to our redemption, and being chosen and called to preach the gospel. It's based on the commission, our great commission that he gave us. So we have to really be careful on who and what we offend. And right now he is doing just that. He's gathering out of his kingdom all those things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, superstitions in high places, the rulers of the darkness, the God of this world, So there is a separation. There is a reckoning that is happening even now in them which do iniquity. Now, again, this is against, this is, he's speaking of those who are supposed to be, quote-unquote, of the kingdom, which are the tares who do this. And I tell you, more than now, am I yet praying, and God is yet this process with me, and things that have tried to, or continue to try to intrude in my personal life, in my holy space that God has given me, which is offensive, because when you cross boundaries and you're not in his divine order, you're not operating out of apostolic anointing, and you're not in your place, you offend. And not only do you offend, you commit iniquity because you're out of order. Now, the consequences of this shall be, as he says, and he shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That sounds like the pit of hell, the lake of fire. And once these things are removed that offend and commit an iniquity, that's in the kingdom that should not be, people who are operating out there that should not be, and offending his little ones, offending him and his order, things that he set forth. He said, once these things happen, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Not man, but of their Father, because that's who I serve, that's who I am. And as the scripture said, how can the king shine unless the purging away the dross, then the king shall shine. So God is definitely purging away the dross, that thing which will try to cover us up or bury us. He's going to remove it, and he's going to cast it and send it where it's supposed to, where it's supposed to be. And then shall we shine forth. Now, remember, this is something he's going to do. What we have to do is pray, watch and pray, and be in agreement with him and walk in our authority and rebuke and bind, as he said, so that it can happen. He goes on to say, shine forth for the Son and the King of their Father. Their means personal relationship, personal. He said, who had ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. And he goes on to say, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden a field, the which when a man had found, he hid it, and for the joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he had, and buy the field. So this is where he begins to speak of how when you find something that is precious. And again, Jesus had to speak in parables because he could not speak to the disciples in the language of the actual heaven because we are not translated in that place yet. That's why he said we know in part, the prophesying part. And so his teachings are very important because it shows us by example, by parables, what it's like. And he will definitely show us exactly what it's like, not just when we get to heaven, but when we're in our holy place and we're praying and he's interceding for us and he takes us into that place by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me go on. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man had found, he hid it, and for the joy thereof, go it and seek it all that he had and buy that field. Saying that when a man finds something that's precious, he doesn't do what? Go tell everybody and put it on display. He covers it. He protects it. And for the joy, because the thing that he found is supposed to bring you joy, the blessed Lord make rich at no sorrow, there go for joy, therefore go and sell it all that he had. That means whatever possessions that he had that he feel is a value, that's a value, he sell it all that he had and buy that field. That means he rightfully obtained it. Not by trickery, not by deceit, not by mirroring, not by shoplifting or soft lifting and all this stuff to try to get something that you find that's valuable, and then trying to buy it and thinking and snickering, thinking that you got something because you got it unlawfully, it's not gonna work. It's gonna spoil. It's gonna rot. So all that he had and buys that field. He goes on to say again, because he always had to restate again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. A man who has means, finances, resources, seeking goodly pearls. Now, the first example was about a treasure. He didn't say exactly what treasure that was. So each treasure we have or desire that God has for us, that's hid in a field, God was not only sure where that field is, but he assures where the treasure is hiding. So our treasure, he said, when a man's treasure, so his heart be. So whatever it is you believe in God for, whatever it is you desire, know that God knows how to get it to you. Amen. And again, he paid the price. He paid the price. So it's really different to us. Amen. Earth is the Lord, the fruit of the world, all that dwells therein. Now, again, he says in the second parable, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. This is specific now. Specific. He knows exactly what he wants. Who, when he had found one pearl, he didn't say 25,000, he didn't say 15, he didn't say 2 or 3, had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. That means legitimately wanted to obtain this pearl by selling all that he had. And after he was successful in selling all that he had, he bought it. Again, restating, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Which, when it was full, they drew out to shore and set it down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. Hallelujah. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. And I tell you, I thank the Lord for giving me this, because he was saying that that's exactly what we need to be doing now as believers. As we cast our net, as we begin to come into the new year, the new equinox of April of the Levitical calendar, it's time to cast our net. Jesus said, cast down your net for a drought. And in casting your net into the sea, you're going to gather all type of stuff. Your net's going to catch all type of stuff. But he said when they drew it to shore and set it down, they gathered the vessels and they cast out the bad. Now, I'm not just casting my net trying to catch on anything. Let me say that first and foremost. When I cast my net, it's very specific about what I need, what I want. So I'm not just throwing stuff out there and hoping it to come back. But he said he gave this parable to show us what it's like when we are believing God for our harvest. Now, I just wanted to include that part of the scripture to show it to you in its totality. I always believe in sharing the full context of the scripture that I mentioned, or to share with you everything he meant, to give it to you in the totality, not just that little piece about the great pearl. Because when Jesus spoke in parables, a lot of times to get an understanding of what he's saying, you have to read up or read further to really get the understanding of what he was saying. Amen? So right there, I want you to know that you don't want to just be casting your net to be casting your net. Amen. Be specific about what you want, like this merchant man was. He's seeking a goodly pearl. Now, when he was mentioning this to me, he just reminded me that these are perilous times that we're living in, and that that he was ministering this to me, is restating the importance of finding your pearl in this world. Amen? And, of course, Jesus is the great pearl of the great price. He is. He is the rock of ages. And when I found Jesus, when I searched for him, when he drew me out, because that's what it was. When he saved me, he was drawing me out. He was allowing the circumstances, the situation that I was in to draw me out, for me to cry out to him. And in me crying out to him and seeking him with my whole heart before I even knew him, and I was just calling upon his name without really knowing his name and knowing him personally, he answered me. And the great pearl, great price, which is Jesus, is, you know, when we seek him with our whole heart, we shall find him. And so the thing that I really felt in him giving me this message was a great word of comfort. And for me to really, really admonish you to seek his face. Call upon him while he's near. And seek him while he may be found. And the word of God says, if you seek me with your whole heart, you shall what? Find me. Amen. And the thing is about God, God is not just hiding himself to play hide and seek. He wants you to have an earnest desire for him. Amen. He wants you to really want him and desire him, not just because he's God, but because you need him. You need him. And that's the thing about finding the pearl of great price and having the true Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, not some counterfeit or conjuring up your type of Christ based on how you want him to look and how you, what you want to manifest, is that you will get the results that you need, which is deliverance, which is healing by the blood of Jesus, according to the cross of Calvary and according to the redemptive work of the cross. Hallelujah. Now, the thing that he said about finding the great pearl of great price, which is himself, which is by hearing the gospel, receiving the gospel, believing it, confessing your sins, repenting your sins, returning from your sins, is that when you find a pearl of great price, you can help others find their pearl. Amen? And when you know the value of your pearl or pearls, you won't cast them before swine, which is something I had to learn. Amen? I can't share my Jesus with everyone. Now, everybody has my Jesus. Now, everyone wants the true Jesus, the true Christ. Now, for that, he gave me Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 5th to the 9th verse, when he's speaking to the hypocrite. Thou hypocrite, he says, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote, the beam out of your brother's eye or your sister's eye. So in order for us to be able to help someone else find a great pearl of great price, to be able to witness to someone else, we have to have the true and living God for us. That means you can't judge someone else when you have a beam in your eye. That's why he keeps talking about, he always talks about judging. Judge not to be not judged. Well, no matter you judge or be judged, you again. He also talks about judging someone else's work. What he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trouble. We have no business as fellow laborers in the gospel judging our brothers and sisters. He said, those that are whole need no physician but those that are sick. I didn't call the righteous but the sinner to repentance. Oh, God, help me stay on track here. Thank you, Jesus. Now, he's saying that, you know, once you get to be not sure, you can see clearly, so you get to be not your brother's eye. And the next verse he says, give not that which is holy unto the dog. The dog. Neither cast your pearl before the swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. That means after you've shared the goodness of the Lord and you've shared the great pearl that you found and you share how you got it and you shared how beautiful it is, who gave it to you, those who receive your pearls or examine your pearls and look at your pearls, they come back and they trample on their feet. They don't appreciate it. They don't see the value of it. So, again, you know, we can't share our faith with just anyone. And that's why he said, let not your good be evil spoken of. And also, let no man steal your crown. Because people will act like they don't want what you got, but they really do. They really want your pearls. You got to hold on to your pearls, clutch your pearls, keep your pearls. And again, be careful who you share with, because not everybody is worthy of that which you have found, that which you diligently sought hard for, amen, by fasting and prayer and crying out, which is what he says in the next verse. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seek it, receive it. He that seek it, find it. And to him that knock it, it shall be open. He goes on to say, or what man is there of you? Of you means who profess to be a disciple, a sister, brother in Christ, when if a son asks bread, you give him a stone. So God said, when you ask me for something, I will give you exactly what you ask for, only if you follow the process. If you follow the qualifications, you follow the instruction, that's ask, seeking, and knocking. No backdooring somebody, undermining. And again, he said, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask a lift that you may consume from your own life. So God says, I have a great pearl, a great price for you, which is eternal life. Hallelujah. And the thing is about this message that he gave me is that people are so caught up with the material things, about the pearl, wanting the pearl itself, because they know the value of the pearl. But what good is a pearl, which is precious, being put on someone or given to someone who is just swine? They're not wearing those pearls in honor and dignity, especially if it's an inheritance, if it's an heirloom that was given to you, passed down. From your mother, your grandmother, that's what really makes it precious. Which is again one of the things that is given to a bride on her wedding day. You know, when a mother gives her daughter her pearls or any jewelry, that's symbolic of inheritance, lineage. Now, of course, any bride is worthy of that, but again, that's the wedding day. It's not just the wedding day, it's the marriage. It's the marriage. So that means it's not just to be worn for that day and then, oh, the marriage, you forget everything that was said and declared through the vow. It's just a piece of jewelry. So the process of finding the pearl as well as a diamond is very rare and very precious, even what it has to go through to become and shine what it is. So that also speaks to you protecting your process. Amen. Let no one determine your value. Amen. Now, the thing that he also shared with me in this finding your pearl of great price is reminding me again where the pearl is found. And he said that is in deep waters. Amen. In the ocean, in the sea. And he began to say to me prophetically, as you go deep or deeper to find your pearl, whatever he has for you, that's a great treasure or a great price in the kingdom of heaven. He said, you will be healed. You will be cleansed. And for that, he gave me John, the 15th chapter, first verse where he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That's the order. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And again, this goes back to the word that I shared the other day about a fruitful rain. This is the time of us bearing fruit. He's preparing us for the spring and the summer harvest so we can bear fruit. So it's time to till our ground. And again, he's the one that determines who comes up hither, who he sets up and set down. But he is the one that's expecting the fruit because the fruit is of the what? Spirit. fruits of the Spirit, which is of what? His attributes, his essence. And he says, he that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth not fruit, he purges it. Every branch that beareth fruit, my bad, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. So again, he determines what's of value, not man. He determines my value based on what I'm producing, what I'm birthing. Now the next verse he says, now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. And remember, he said, my spirit, my words are spirit and they are life. It's good to be a word person, be a letter person, but we need the spirit. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he said, my words that I speak to you are cleansing. Those prophetic words that he speaks to me and ministers to me are cleansing. Now he says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Because we're what? Connected what? To the vine. To the vine. The true vine. Not a false vine. Not some other vine, but the true vine. He says, except it abide in the vine, you no more can accept your vine. Now, one of the things I was blessing for in him ministering this to me was possession. Hallelujah, possession. Possession and being adorned with your pearls, a great price. And he was sharing with me that being adorned and having possessions of your pearls, he will give you the blessed assurance of your covenant. Because again, it's personal. Of your covenant with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. When he was saying that to me, he was saying that having a great pearl, great price, which is him. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He said that you will have the blessed assurance of my protection. Hallelujah, my protection. You will have the blessed assurance of comfort, because I will send you another comforter which will comfort you. And when he was saying it to me, he said that in order to possess and have a great pearl of great price, it will come by the Beatitudes. By the Beatitudes, which is the attitude that we need to have in possessing our great pearls of great price and even inheriting the earth. And the thing that he was highlighting when he was speaking to me was about how in order for him to teach the disciples the Beatitudes, he had to go into a great mountain. He had to separate himself from the multitude. As it says in verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So they had to come to where he was at. And this is the invitation God is extending. This is the invitation for us to come up hither. Amen. And that in order for us to be able to possess the pearls of great price, which he gives, amen, that he allows us to find as we hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we seek it with all our whole heart. He said the purpose of that is for sanctification. Amen. When he left the multitude and went to the mountain, he was sanctifying himself, setting himself apart, holy and holy unto God. And when the disciples followed him, they were able to be taught and they were endowed with power from on high. Amen. So this speaks of elevation and promotion. And he was saying to me that this is the season to sanctify yourself. Come from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Then will I receive you to myself. Because some things God is not going to do unless you separate yourself. Amen. So know that in order for you to receive certain things, you have to, or receive the elevation of God, the promotion of God, it's always have to be a separation. Well, cutting away of certain things. Now, with the few minutes I have left, I'm going to go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, 1 through the 12th verse, which is again, the scripture he gave me when he was saying that teaching the disciples about the Beatitudes, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven, blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth, blessed are those which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the Beatitude is the thing he said that we need to have in these last days and need to possess to make sure we keep the right spirit. Hallelujah. Because the things that's happening now can put us in fear, can cause fear, but the whole purpose of reminding us of the Beatitude and what he taught is to keep us in faith. Amen. Having our mind renewed by the word of God and being consecrated to the Lord and living the Bible way, living the holy way according to his word. That's how he's going to keep us. And we can have the blessed assurance, and we can praise him in the midst of our trials or what's going on in the world. Amen. Because we're what? Covered by the blood. Amen. Now, in closing, he was saying to me, finding your pearl, great price, will open and keep the favor of God upon your life. Amen. Our faith is priceless. We will not redeem with silver and gold. Our faith is more precious than silver and gold. So I want you to be encouraged that as you seek the Lord for your great pearl of great price, or whatever it is that is that hidden treasure, that thing that he has for you, our inheritance, that thing which he has purposed for us, our inheritance, our birthright, those things he kept in store, that's in store for us, he's ready to release. Amen. And again, we can't be like the prodigal son, wanting our inheritance all at one time, and we're not growing in grace, and we're not living holy, because when you want something that you're not supposed to have in this time, it's called waste. And especially if you get it to just consume it from the flesh. And especially if you're sharing among those who are not really for you. When it's all gone, they're going to be gone too. So it's really important to know that Jesus is the great pearl of great price in this world, and Jesus is the answer. He's what we need, and all we need to do is seek his face and call upon him with a pure heart, and he will hear us and answer us. And as you ask God to show you, Lord, show me who you are, reveal yourself to me, he'll do it. He will do it. And I pray that as the weeks go on, that you will find comfort in the word of God. You will have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He will give you that. He will quicken you according to his spirit on what you're supposed to do. Amen. According first to his covenant. Amen. So, again, anything that's going on in your life, check your covenant. Check what you're doing or not doing. Amen. And if you're doing all you know to do, stand. As he said, doing all that you understand, stand before neighbor day. Now with that, I'm going to close by bidding you peace, blessings, and much love. And I'll be back. I will be back later in the week with the new alignment. Yes, the BOC, Levitical, Prophetical Alignment. I'll be back with that. And I will be posting that. So peace, blessings, and much love. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, your evening, and your week. I hope your work week will be, it will start off great, and you'll wake up with a praise in your mouth and a praise in your heart. Love you.